And in Bethel, yesterday a group gathered to talk with the community on the region's heroin and opioid epidemic and what people can do about it. This group included the FBI, the U.S. Attorney's Office, local and state law enforcement, and local health officials. They talked with students at the schools during the day and the community in the evening. KYUK's Adrian Wagner was at the school that morning, and he's here to talk about what happened. Hi, Adrian.
How are you?
I'm good. So to start with, big picture, Adrian, why did this group come to Bethel?
Okay, so I think big picture, zoom out, they're asking for help. I think this was a really interesting event because these branches of law enforcement, state, federal, and local, I think they were all coming together asking for community support, which is something that I don't think we've really seen before on a national or a local level.
And it was interesting in the community event in the evening, Marlon Ritzman, he's the head of the FBI. He's based head of FBI for the Alaska unit based in Anchorage. He said that law enforcement can't arrest their way out of this situation, that it's going to require support from the community, from schools, from social services, healthcare, including law enforcement, and just from community members, families, friends, colleagues, looking out, supporting each other.
Yeah, super interesting. So the day started with BRHS, Bethel Regional High School, began bright and early, 8:40 in the morning. Kids file into the gym, high school students, 300 of them or so, and they watch this movie. And this movie that they're watching is this big 45-minute production that's been produced by the Justice Department in conjunction with the FBI. And it's this really, really thoroughly realistic depiction of heroin use, and it's not at all cliche. It's a very disturbing film. It's a very adult film, and it's something that I think many, many people would question whether or not it should be shown to children. And that was one of the other major themes here at the beginning of the day, that they, law enforcement, that is, treated these children not like children at all, but like adults. And I think they really saw that reciprocated as well. I mean, they saw the children acting like adults. So Andrea Hatton was the representative from the U.S. Attorney's Office. And after the movie, she gave a little speech about her own personal story and interaction with heroin use, prosecuting a heroin user. And she just had this really kind of stark moment of realization where she interacted with this young woman who was not much older than these high school students. Let's just play a clip of that.
She started off, went from being an engaged high school kid right here in Alaska. And in 6 months' time, after getting hooked on heroin, had ended up in that interview room facing very, very serious federal charges. She didn't set out to become a heroin fiend. And in 8 years of doing what I do, I've never met a criminal defendant who did. But the story she told was lockstep with the stories you heard here this morning. The story she told was about a fork in the road. It wasn't about meeting up with a drug dealer on the corner of a street. It was being at a party with friends and being in a bad place, a bad breakup with a high school boyfriend, distraught. And at the fork in the road, she chose wrong. So we're here today to try to convince you to take the right fork and to never mess with these terribly addictive and dangerous substances.
So how did the kids respond to that, to what they were seeing, to what they were hearing, that video, Andrea's story?
Yeah, sure. So really interesting. Like I suggested earlier, they responded in this really adult way and had very similar questions to what we would later hear in the community event. And we'll get back to that in a second. But what I found really interesting was the very first question. There was this high school kid, and he says, "Hey, look, I was playing football a couple years ago. I was injured, and healthcare providers gave me prescription painkillers. And he just asked the question very simply, why did this happen? If prescription opioids are fueling this problem, why was I given prescription opioids?
And the response to that?
Well, a pharmacist from the Bethel Family Clinic, I believe it was, Michael Stamper.
Oh, YKHC. He's with YKHC.
Oh, right. YKHC. Thank you. So he tried to explain YKHC's position, which is that they're really trying to cut down on opioid use by limiting these kinds of prescriptions and closely monitoring patients as they're using them, and ideally getting them on, and as they're healing, getting them off, you know. And he really emphasized that, and he really wanted to drive that home, getting them off opiates as quickly as possible.
And he did say in the community event in the evening, just very bluntly, admitting that the drugs, they help manage pain. People have pain, they want it managed, but also that comes with that risk of addiction and abuse, and they're following these national guidelines, these national standards to give as low of dose for as short a time as possible, but that risk is still inherent with taking the drug.
It is still inherent with taking the drug. And the other question that I think was the undertone of this event in terms of prescription opioids was, is it too late to be looking at this problem from that perspective? I mean, great that they're doing that, but we don't have one opioid problem here in Bethel any longer. And I think nationally, it seems to have split into not only a prescription opioid problem, but a heroin problem, a full-blown heroin problem. And those are really almost apples and oranges. So you went to the, or you listened, you manned the controls here at the station for the community event. What did you find interesting?
So the part that really jumped out to me, and I thought this just carried the emotional heart, and it also really encapsulated the message of the whole evening, was the very powerful testimony delivered by Rose Dominick. She said that she was there because she has a loved one, a family member who has an addiction, and her message was that these addiction and the hurt and the shame and the anger and the pain that follows, it really thrives in secrecy, that it needs to be exposed, it needs to be brought out in the open, and that you have to talk about the issues. And that's really what the event was about. Andrea Hatton, who opened the event and organized it, she said, you know, we're here to begin a conversation, to continue a conversation that is happening on a national level, on a local level, on a regional, state level. Because no one can solve these issues alone, no one person, no one agency. It's going to take this holistic approach. But let's hear from Rose.
I really experienced so much emotion watching the video. And thought about how much anger and hurt and shame and all of that I still have to process. And part of what prolonged that was keeping all of this a secret. And that's the worst thing we can do, all of us, is to keep this a secret. It dwells on being hidden. And we really had to go out and seek help. So we got our own counselors.
And after that, she went on to say that the family, the addiction within the family had been tearing them apart. They really had to do a lot of work to come together, and that she's had to do a lot of work separating her loved one's addiction and behavior from the person who she knows and loves.
So this is interesting. How did officials respond to this?
There was a lot of response, but one of the responses was showing that there are local counseling options. One of those, Bethel Family Clinic, Terry Force, she's a counselor there. She was there last night. They offer counseling. And also YKHC representatives were there, and they talked about how they are hoping to open this treatment program at the beginning of November. Dr. Elizabeth Rollin of YKHC, she said that ideally it'd be 6 to 8 weeks inpatient, and then it transitioned to this outpatient treatment program. And they are starting a waiting list. They're prioritizing pregnant women on that list. And they were using words like ideally and we hope. And so it made the sense that they're still figuring it out. They're still putting the pieces together. But hopefully beginning of November, Bethel, the YK Delta, will have a treatment center. And what stood out for you with the event? You were there.
Yeah. So, like I said, I thought the event with the high schoolers in the morning and the event with the community in the evening were very similar, except that the community event sort of was, I'm going to use the phrase, taken back by the community, or maybe taken over by the community in a way. It started off, I think, as planned. They showed this movie. Officials gave sort of condensed summaries of the issue. But then as community members came up to speak, they really created this space for a dialogue. And I think anyone who was listening on the radio will hear that or heard that last night. And also we're going to be re-airing that at a later date this week. But anyway, so I think the other than the pharmaceutical questions that were raised earlier in the day, something that the community seemed very concerned about was police involvement. The sense that these heroin dealers and this heroin exists in our communities in the YK Delta, but not much is being done by law enforcement. And this is the first time in my tenure reporting in Western Alaska that local law enforcement has addressed what they're doing specifically.
And you've been here since March?
Right, since March. So Jerry Avan of the State Troopers talked about this issue specifically very eloquently and very adamantly. Let's hear Jerry's clip.
With these type of drug cases, we have to identify the people that are actually dealing. We have to find means of getting all the information we need to maybe apply for a search warrant. With the types of calls that we get here in Bethel, a lot of them are anonymous calls on our tip line. And there's so much weight we can put with those types of tips because they're calling anonymously. We cannot use their name in our report, as well as I can't go before the judge and say, hey, I got this tip. This is what I want. I want a search warrant. We can't do that. We got to, anyone who calls and requests, yeah, use me as a witness. No, that's the type of information we can use. We can take them before the judge, or I can take their name before the judge and basically prove that caller reliable and trustworthy before the judge.
Okay, so one of the messages there is that they wanted to convey is they need community members to testify, to use their name, to be willing to stand as witness. And there was a line, and I forget who delivered it, but saying that, you know, sometimes that speaking to your loved one, helping your loved one, could mean speaking out against them.
Yeah, and that was something that law enforcement tried to drive home across the board. And something that we know to be a challenge in Western Alaska, particularly in communities like villages that are such tight-knit communities. It is just extremely difficult to report people that are so close to you and get them involved in a system that you may not trust or you may not believe in. But the message from law enforcement ultimately was that that is saving the very thing that, you know, you're trying to protect. So I think that's really interesting. I think Jerry, Mr. Van, right here, he's just completely on message. He's just really got the purpose of this whole event. And to sort of tie it back together, it's community involvement. It is this holistic approach, this participatory justice, I guess you might call it, you know, bringing the community into this and really admitting that they need the help of the community. And for me, that is the that's the sort of big takeaway. What was the big takeaway for you, Anna Rose?
Well, first of all, before I get to that, I want to add something that Jerry Evan, Alaska State Trooper, shared with the community, is that if people have leftover pain medications, they can grind them up in coffee grounds or cat litter to dispose of them, or they can also contact the state troopers. The state troopers, he said that they will come pick them up, or they can be dropped off with the state troopers and they'll properly dispose of them. But the takeaway that I got from it is that this discussion was really transferring ownership to the community, to every individual within a community, of saying this isn't just a law enforcement problem, this isn't just a healthcare problem, that this is a community problem that everyone has to participate in order to mitigate, in order to expose, in order for people to seek treatment. It's the onus is on each person to educate themselves, to know these are treatment options. This is what, when someone starts displaying these behaviors, they might be developing an addiction, and this is how I can help them, or this is how I can set my own boundaries to protect myself. And so it's really transferring ownership and saying that, hey, we're in this together. We have to solve this together.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Adrian, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.